On a call order, this special call, City Council, City of Mountain Park meeting with one agenda item, which is the emergency approval of landscaping grounds maintenance cleanup. The reason for this meeting is we have had some work done. We had to secure our shed out there. We've had to do some cleanup that just needed to be done. And thanks to Mr. Cole Runner. We were able to get a lot of it cleaned up, but I do think that there is more work to be done. Bill and I rode around today and showed him some other stuff. Bill, why don't you kind of fill in the gap here about what all needs to be done, and then council can look at approving what has been done, and if they feel like that there needs to be some more funds expended in this capacity, then they can make a motion.
Sure. So just generally speaking, without going into too much details specific with addresses and locations, generally speaking, we have a lot of areas that have not been maintained, or should I say, they just haven't been maintained. Starting with the ditches, starting with culverts, starting with streams, starting with a whole lot of things, not just cutting the grass and doing the weed eating around the buildings and around the trees and around the pool. And it goes into a much broader and a larger spectrum of a picture, because the battle cry, our lakes are filling up. Well, they're filling up because our ditches really aren't manicured and maintained the way that they should be. Culverts are full, so that's one issue. Then we go into the issue public safety, where meaning the roads have lost, anywhere some of the roads that we cleared off have lost up to 2 feet, because we removed 1 to 4 inches of dirt off the shoulders of the road. And all those dirts and all that root is getting down into the asphalt, eating the asphalt, undermining the asphalt, and it's gonna fail. Pedestrians don't want to walk on an unlevel surface, so they walk on the street, and all of a sudden the street's getting narrower and narrower, and pedestrian traffic is getting more and more possible of getting hit or struck by an automobile. Some of the other issues are, we have a lot of turns and curves and corners that have a lot of brush that need to be cut back. And we have, from a safety issue, when you pull up to an intersection, it's nice to look to your right and to your left and be able to see what, if anything, is coming. That's a citywide issue. We have a lot of, and I know that we've addressed this with part of the RFP, for the fire hydrants. We have a lot of fire hydrants that are just hidden in brush. We have a lot of fire hydrants that there's no street designation that there's a fire hydrant with the blue placards. So it boils down to me, what does it cost to repair and maintain now? What does it cost to ignore it and pay for the repair down the road? It's no longer maintenance, it's repair. And for instance, if you drive down onto Mountain Park Road, on the right-hand side after the first speed bump at the intersection, we're losing our street. And I've been watching it decay, and it's gone from 5 foot to 10 foot to 15 to 20 foot dropping off. Is that because we have a broken water line? Maintenance, do we have saturated soil underneath it? Don't really know.
We're talking about the sinking.
We're just using alligators that,
So where I'm going with this whole thought process is, what do we do with regards to routine maintenance? What do we do with regards to routine upkeep once we get everything cut back? Because we can spend thousands of dollars making everything manicured nice and pretty, and then 2 weeks later we need to go back and cut it. Now, cutting it is a lot different than going back through and reclaiming the streets, reclaiming the right-of-ways, reclaiming the ditches, and getting things cleaned out. So the question is, do we just kind of be reactionary whenever there's a problem, let's go dig a ditch without any kind of foresight to it, or do we actually start planning ahead and we start budgeting ahead, big-term picture down the road? To send a bunch of guys out with weed eaters is fine, but we've got to get to the root of the problem. And I think that a lot of the issues, for an example, the bridge that's right behind us, if you were to walk out there right now, you'll see that all the openings are literally 80% clogged. People upstream cut logs, put it on the bank, and either they roll it into the creek, out of sight, out of mind, or they stack it up, the waters rise, and take it down with it, and it floods this out.
I didn't realize that until they showed me that today, that there are large pieces of firewood that are logging in that.
Yeah, and they're big.
And there's a
so,
there's a, yeah,
so
collection.
Yeah. what concerns, and especially up there at your intersection, close to your house, how much is it getting undermined because water hydrostatic pressure is going this way, side to side, rather than downstream? Don't really know, but I think that the looking forward, which is what we have to do, I think we just need to start getting on a program and just tackle this, to Jim's comment, one bite at a time. But there are large issues that need to be resolved and need to be looked at, not only from a public safety standpoint, coming around the corner, a pedestrian, giving a pedestrian ample room to walk on the sidewalk, striping, whatever that may be, all the way down to getting our streets back so we don't have to go and lose our streets because we're losing our asphalt. Some of these, it's too late. A lot of them, it's not too late. This is going to take time and effort and energies. I just stepped in to fill out, I know we had an Easter egg hunt that had to go off, and stepped in and volunteered some of the guys to work at cost to do what we've done cleanup wise, which is pretty extensive. But where do you start and where do you stop and where do you draw the lines as far as what has to be done? Because there's really, in my looking at it, there's really nothing in the budget to go back through and do all this stuff. There's just, it's a case that has to be done. And so instead of just starting one project and say, okay, we did the one project, we feel great about it, we have dozens of other projects, other strips of road, other sections, other right-of-way, other whatever you want to call it. But I think that we need to try to consider as a group, wholly and individually, how important is it us to do these routine maintenance things and take care of what we already own so that we don't get hit with a huge, geez, we need to repave this whole section of the street. But that's okay because we haven't maintained it for the past 15 years. Those don't equate to me.
Right. So. All right, Bill, if I may, you made some really good points about all the different things that need to be, and me, in my opinion, my humble opinion, I think the emergency, the public safety parts of it are what I think we need to address now. But I do think going forward in a more, regular work session fashion, explore the possibility of putting a program together, because even with one city maintenance guy, it's hard to keep up with all this.
Yes.
And I've said for a few years, which we did do at one point, we should outsource some of this, just find us a vendor that can come in here, has the crew, has the equipment, we don't have to pay for the equipment, they come in and they get it done once or twice a summer when the growing season is and things like that. But the intersections where you cannot see right or left, our code actually requires us to keep a direct line of sight to oncoming traffic. So that's something that I think we might need to look at getting done sooner rather than later. The ditch over here, the buildup and accumulation of logs and stuff in it, we might get Chad to clean that out. But the other ditches, that's going to require a plan. I think we have T-Squad's money that I kept saying we need to look at the most eroded, steepest inclines, East Lake. You and I looked at East Lake today. I literally feel like that road might need to be piped and curbed just because it's so steep that water, debris leaves, it gets out of the bank, crosses the road, it's untenable like it is.
It's a 21% grade.
Yeah. So anyway, that was just my thoughts on what we had looked at.
I'm in full agreement that when it comes to public safety, those need to be addressed yesterday. Everything else, it's been like this for so long, what's another one or two days or one or two planning sessions? But I think that mindset needs to stop right away. The plan needs to be instituted for and prioritize the lakes, the public safety issue, the aesthetics issue. It's all a fine balance that, in my opinion, needs to be considered, not one more important than the other, but I personally think that public safety is paramount. And I can live with a little bit of dirt and rock and debris, but I can't live with somebody getting hit around the corner because they can't see.
Now, this is not going to be real popular, but I'm going to say it because it is a consideration. All it takes is money.
Oh, yeah.
All you got to do is find the money. Putting some thought into this, those ditches, those open ditches, they affect our lakes. That's the reason we didn't fare any better than we did in all that lawsuit, was because we were looked at as accusing them and suing them for doing what we were doing to ourselves. with that said, and it is up to council, there are hundreds of thousands of dollars sitting in a lake restoration fund. And if this can be looked at as being a valuable improvement on how we are treating the lakes by not letting any more siltation and whatever going there, then that would be a source for being able to do this, a source for the revenue to be able to do this. Could be. Just wanted to put it out there.
In the past, we have.
I had a feeling she would.
Jim, in the past, didn't we allocate $5,000 to outsource the heavy duty brush removal? So then Chad and Jerry could come after it with the Kubota?
Yeah, we did. $4,999.99.
And what did would that get us enough to take care of the intersections, the public safety thing, and where we could?
Jim asked me if there was a rough idea of what it would cost to do all this, and I would love to use an educated guess. I don't want to do that. I don't want to go back and say, geez, I really missed this one by a lot of money. I don't think that's fair to me or to anyone else.
We would never.
But I have no problem just riding around just real quickly, just making notes on the major intersections. I don't think we're looking at tens of thousands of dollars, but by the same degree, it boils down to, can we afford to do it? But bigger picture, can we afford not to do it?
Right.
When somebody gets smacked by a bicycle, especially after we've had this conversation.
Well, if I can answer your question, what I did was I took Alan Swan and I put him on the golf cart, rode him around and showed him the areas that looked the worst. Magnolia Street was completely over, it looked like it was overgrown. We highlighted them on a map, and I kind of prioritized, and he did as much as he could do for $4,999.99, so that we didn't have to go into a bidding RFP type situation.
My gut reaction, don't hold me to it, is that we're not going to get that figure. I can't see it. But from what I've seen, it's simple cutting back with the truck and a trailer.
Right, and this was entire streets. You know, this was both sides of the road, mowing, cutting back, overhanging trees and branches, stuff like that. So that's much more labor intensive, and it covered a larger,
Yeah, but I think that also during the drive, and anybody who wants to drive with me, input, please, by all means, we can do that together, groups, people, whatever, just for some input and idea. I'm willing to open myself up to that. But with that said, that's a good time to go through and say, bigger picture, let's get the safety issue taken care of. Then the next step is, let's get our streets back so we don't have to worry about decaying asphalt. And then let's get this back, whatever it is. We kind of make one whole master list. And you're able to get through the communications with the captains or the leaders. I have no problem doing that.
Yeah, even all of us, we come from different parts of town for the most part. I don't know that many of us come from over there, but you guys do. If you see intersections that look like they need to be cut back, they're just, just let Bill know or let City Hall know. We can share the list. You get yourself into a situation where you're going to make 8 or 10 trips because 8 or 10 people all on different days.
Well, that's just one night. I'm 2 days I'm going, I hope you can make it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what I did with the ivy, the wisteria ivy. I just got off the golf cart, rode around, and noted where it was, like at East Lake and West Lake. That was a real heavy area. And so, you can fairly quickly identify the most prevalent.
Absolutely. And then kind of maybe expand this conversation one step or two steps further. I think that a lot of it has to do with educating citizens, the public, and I don't know how we go about doing that, maybe through the communications, that it's not real good to take all your leaves from your yard and dump them in the creek. And it's not real good to take your dead firewood and throw it in the creek or throw it by the creek.
Or the ditch,
or just leave it by the side of the road. But so there's, I think it's a whole big thing. I think we just need to kind of define what is the responsibility of the city of Mountain Park versus what's the responsibility of a responsible homeowner with a dead tree or a log or something. So I think it's a process.
All right. Anybody in the audience have any thoughts they want to share about cleaning out your own ditches and stuff like that? I know we have some very willing people, and then we have some folks that just refuse and they aren't going to do it. So.
It's funny, Matt and I were just talking about this the other day because ours are in need of some cleanup right now. And we were talking about just what it is that we are responsible for, and then also what we could do. Olive Street's pretty small, and there's only a few houses, and we're all pretty capable of doing stuff. And we were like, why don't we just get together and do our road? Bill was kind enough to come and cut the tree away from our mailbox a couple weeks ago that had fallen. And it just started us all talking about what we should do. So I think even that, like if you can involve the captains and stuff, maybe to meet kind of like on a street by street basis to see what it is that we can do on our own, and have specific things, because, you know, things like scraping the dirt off of the side of the road, I would never think of doing that. But things like that that we could do, of course you're going to have homeowners who are willing to do it and others who aren't. But at least it could start the process.
And you know, Don, there are, the other thing too, is there are, you know, undeveloped lots on streets.
Right.
And of course, there is no resident to clean those ditches up. So maybe an organized group can not only take care of each other's, but the other ones.
The vacant lot, yeah.
So yeah. It's a good idea. Carol, did you have anything you want to add?
Very much so.
I'm sitting in front.
So, mainly, it's to no point at all, but I just want to point out that I saw this coming when I got onto council, and I have made a proposal to get a maintenance crew in here. I'm the one that figured out that what it would we needed, and y'all said $49.99, and we got a crew in, and I'm looking at Mark because I know you remember it, and we went around and around and around with it, and I know that we wanted to hire an outside company, and you had said to go to the municipal site, and then we have just been kind of, for some reason, nothing has happened with it, but I've seen this coming.
What
every
municipal
single
site?
Thing you've listed, some kind of a municipal site where cities will look for companies that can do landscaping, not landscaping, but cleanup. Because I had suggested that we call the company that's sitting out there on Crossville Road, and you said you have to go through that municipal site. And when you mentioned it, I knew what you were talking about because I had seen it.
Good Lord, I must have been.
I can't think of what it is.
Yeah, I don't remember what it is. All I know is that what we did is we had a preferred vendor.
That's it.
Preferred vendor.
But what for Mountain Park, it was a municipal go-to site. So anyway, that's one thing. So I had noticed all of this 2 years ago, and I'm really happy that you are now calling attention to it again, because nothing's really changed. Minimal work has been done. The second thing is the ditches. The code addresses that. Homeowners are supposed to keep their ditches clean. They don't know how to do it. They don't understand how to do it. I have a beloved neighbor. I love this lady. And every single month, they're blowing their leaves into the ditch directly across from our house, which means the water comes down and flows into her yard because the ditch is filled up with all of her leaves. She doesn't know any better. People don't know how to do it. And then the third thing I was going to mention, what was that third thing? Lost it. Oh, we had someone mention at Civic Club last night about putting logs in the creek, I will not name names as you know, to slow the water flow down. It was done deliberately in one particular area.
Was it in the creek or the yard? In the creek?
Or in the yard?
In the yard. I thought it was in the yard.
I think it was a next door neighbor who left a log in a ditch hoping to slow the water.
Hoping
like
to slow the
water.
Yeah, correct.
So they wouldn't get too much turbidity or velocity.
So they
slow it down like a rope.
So and in the meantime, anything I've tried to do with anything doing with the lake, trying to get grant money, I always come back to this. We don't put any money into any control whatsoever, cleanup at all. And you are right. We can't do anything until we show what we have done first. So it's a real stopping place for me.
Well, and then again, I just kept thinking about it, and I was like, well, you know, these are things that would be a good indication that we are good stewards of the city and of the lakes as well. We don't have the resources readily available. And then I started thinking, well, wait a minute, the money that's in the Lake Restoration Fund is for that very purpose.
That's exactly
you know,
right.
Whether it's for matching grants or whether it's for taking care of our ditches that keep, you know, silt from flowing the entire lake. So it's just a thought. You guys are the ones that have to kind of contemplate it and decide how you want to proceed.
You mentioned T-Splot's funds, but aren't those pretty well taken up?
They are. That's what I told Bill today. You know, unfortunately, because I was going after T-Splot's funds
for the open ditches. That was what I kept feeling like was good.
The lease clause was renewed, right?
It was.
So we will.
We will eventually.
We will have another tranche of money.
Oh, we will. We have another.
But that's barring any other situations like, you know, we.
Well, then, is this considered an emergency procurement? And if so, where does that money, what fund does that come out of?
What do you mean, what is considered emergency procurement?
Council may authorize others to make emergency procurements of supplies, services, or construction items when there exists a threat to public health, welfare, or safety, which you're talking about cleaning the, you know.
Intersections.
Intersections, so we don't.
Yeah, that, this is what we're basically saying is that, you know, this is a public safety emergency, and we're not gonna wait for the next meeting to approve. But what you're doing tonight on the special call is you're approving the funds that have been used, and any additional funds that you feel like it would take, you can say up to 3,000 or whatever you wanna say to give us the ability to go ahead and start, you know, cleaning around those intersections so that there is a better visibility.
Yeah, what are our options as far as funding besides the lake restoration fund?
Well, you'll have to pull it out of general fund, you know, you'll have to pull it out of the general fund and then maybe move some numbers around. You don't spend money on one thing. Yeah, I'll let Mark speak to that.
Okay. And how much is, what's your bill so far, Bill?
I think we're at, what is it, $1,000? I sent you that.
$1,000.
Oh, is that all?
Probably have that money.
Okay, higher bill, that's it.
So is the ask that we approve bills, approve invoices, and then set aside another X tranche of money to handle the public safety component?
What I would say is, yes, go ahead.
Can I just interject really
quickly?
Because he did pressure wash the bridge, which was prior approved.
That was done, looks great. That was up to $400.
Up to $400.
And it's $385. No, I think what we need to do, or at least this to me in my mind, is approve an up to number tonight to include and cover what has already been spent and any additional that we feel like needs to be done immediately.
And do we have a contractor identified that would do that with Bill?
That's, there you go.
I would say I would trust his judgment if he's got somebody, you know, his guys, or if he's got somebody.
The reason I'm asking is because if we cut Bill a check for $1,200 and then we have up to $49.99 for a different vendor, but if it's going to be Bill, then we want to check, cut a $1,200 check and then approve. So, whatever the net, $3,700.
Well, I don't want to spend like $5,000, $499, $4,999 on this because I don't think it would take that much to eliminate and remedy the public safety aspect of it. I think we just need enough funds there to make sure that we clear the intersections and the line of sight for people.
So we allocate up to $2,500 additional?
Over his $1,000, so yeah. $3,500?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
What I'd like to see done is money allocated to clear the right ways and to find our fire hydrants until we can figure out the placards. Those are just real big safety issues to me in my mind.
So there's intersections, right of way,
and there's a handful of fire hydrants.
What are we getting we got the RFP out. Yes, go ahead.
Okay, the placards aren't part of that RFP. I would have to order them, but those would be installed. Or should be installed.
By the people that are doing the fire.
Correct, yeah.
I think we provide the placards and the adhesive.
Yeah, well, there's a lot that have pre-adhesive, I think, that you can order. I've been trying to get ideas. But where we would need additional adhesive, it comes with it on it. But, you know, on figuring those pieces out.
Yeah. So when you're talking about the fire hydrants, what are you talking about doing? Just clearing the debris, bushes around
so you can see a fire hydrant.
Okay, you know, I'd volunteer to get with a group and go, and if you know where they are, just go get the weed eater.
I have no problem taking my truck and trailer, and as a community project, just go and throw this stuff.
Yeah, because we're going to be paying these folks anyway to come do this. I think if we just can get the fire hydrants cleared enough that we can see them, in case of an emergency, nobody's out there going through the bushes trying to find a hydrant. That would probably be a temporary remedy until the RFP is approved and those guys start doing what they do, which is to really clean it up.
Unless there's just something that is out there that it comes from left field plus, $1,500 to $2,000 will cover that more than sufficient unless there's just something that's just way, way out there. I'm not talking cutting down dead trees, I'm talking about just clearing the brush and getting the weeder out there and just and cleaning it all up. I don't see it coming anywhere near that. I don't. I just see what they did out here. Six loads of the trailer, if you walk outside, you'll see six loads were removed just from this green area.
So what are you saying, $1,500 for what?
I would say an additional $1,000. $1,500.
Okay, on top of what's already been done. So $2,500.
Yes. Now, just to be real crystal clear for council, mayor, citizens, and anyone else out there, I am not a landscape company. I am not a maintenance company. I stepped up to the plate to volunteer to get this stuff done through my efforts with my team. These guys have worked for me for 20, 30 years. They've maintained all of my properties, and they know what they're doing. But this is not anything that I want to do. This is not a money-making thing where I pay them $200 and I'm billing $300. It's not the way it is.
No, you stepped up to solve a situation, a temporary solution to a long-term problem.
Yeah, just want to take pride in our city and take pride in the Easter egg hunt that's coming. But of the $1,100 that's pretty much already, that we've already spent, just, and again, just bear with me, please. In my humble opinion, not all of that was for the landscaping. I mean, we had to build a brand new door, which to me is an emergency. We had chemicals that anybody could have just walked in. We had our tractors and equipment, anybody could just walked in and walked off with that stuff. That was an issue for me from a safety standpoint. The diesel tank was literally just, I bet we removed 5 bales of pine straw around the tank. That thing goes up, or that thing drips, and it doesn't go into its container. So those to me are emergency things because it's just not a safe situation. So of that $1,100, whatever the final number is, $1,100, I would say that you've got $400 of that is just for what I would consider true emergencies. There's one other thing that needs to be addressed. It's nothing to do with the lakes or the roads. We have a lot of electrical hazards. We've got exposed wires. We have GFIs that are no good. We have electric covers that have no cover, electric outlets that have no covers on it. You walk up there, I mean, my guy, when he fixed this that was hanging down in the shed, you know.
Turn the light on and put two wires together. Yeah.
That's about right on some of these things. So there's something needs to be done with this. And I mean, the green, when we were replacing the picnic table, there's just wires everywhere. The house, the little meter house on the bridge, there's exposed wires there.
Well, and this
those, is are, the, those are things, yeah, yes. those are things other than the lakes and the waters and the shore. It's been lack of maintenance, and you know, and again, not to be critical, but if you don't know the problem exists, how in the world can you fix it? So,
Bill, were you able to get whatever that house is on the bridge out there, the test house or whatever it is, did you get that locked?
No, in fact, I've ordered, and I meant to tell Jennifer, I apologize, I ordered 3 brand new locks that are all key to life. So one key will open up every single lock, and those should be the right locks.
Thank you for sharing that. I don't know whether I mentioned that to you. He and I had the conversation because he said that little house was open and there was, you know, just needed to be locked.
Yeah. And I've got, just for what it's worth, those will be keyed on a master key. That works all of my master locks, just so everybody knows that my master key will open up those locks just in case. I have no intentions of going into the bunkhouse or going and getting equipment, but it's just on my account. It was nothing. So,
all right.
Now, everything inside of the little house that's on the fishing bridge is dead. It's not working, right? There's nothing functioning inside of it, right? It was a meter. Right?
Yeah, it was
good. Because the day is approaching where we're going to be using that again, I hope. I mean, we're going to have to do that and use it.
And I don't know the status of the last time I was up there. There were a lot of beer bottles, there were needles, and there was just a lot of crap.
Right, yes. Right. But I am talking about the little structure on the fishing bridge.
Right, yeah. That's why I called it an outhouse, because he said there's a lot of crap in there.
Yes, I know it originally was installed there as a meter of some sort, and Lloyd may be able to add more information to it. But
if you can, I can tell you what it was. It was part of that we were supposed to be getting testing of turbidity siltation going through there that was supposed to be automatically uploaded to the internet.
And it was.
And it was for a while, but it
was on a solar hours, I know, as I thought.
And I thought we juiced that, didn't we run wiring out there or something? Because they had all kind of equipment in there, and it was, it's electric.
Yeah, there's
power.
Pretty certain there's power still there.
Anyway, the hope is that we can get it going again, because they are expecting that. They being the entities, the EPA and so forth, as I look into getting grant money, we have to have measurements. I haven't gotten a straight answer out of anybody yet, and I'm working on it, trying.
Does anybody want to make a motion?
Make a motion to allocate up to $2,000 to compensate Bill for services already provided and services to be provided to address the public safety issues.
How much?
Up to $3,000.
Second.
All right, motion by Councilman Murphy, second by Councilperson Silver. Please note, because it's an up to, doesn't mean you gotta spend it, it means you can't. So, just want people to feel good. It doesn't mean we're spending $3,000. Sounds like Bill doesn't need that much, but if something else comes up or you find out something else, at least we got the latitude to go ahead and fix that as well. So, all those in favor, please designate by a show of hands. And any opposed? Any recusals? Thank you, sir. You did the right thing. All right, so 4-0-1. Because the money is going to be spent by him, and he did the right thing.
He paid attention to that.
Yes, he did. Yeah. What was that, Liz? All right, anybody else have any questions or comments about this? Not about, and we cannot go down the path of going off the agenda. Yes, sir.
You were talking about these blocks. I just want to let you know that according to the Oversight Committee, the first payment from the new version of these blocks should arrive in our bank account May 28th.
Wonderful.
Right on schedule.
Do we know your boy's house on the
28th? Do we know how much it is?
No, we got no clue what it's going to be at this point, and probably less than they expect, since they're going to suspend the gas tax for some period of time. That will also be part of what they suspend.
Okay. Good. Chair will entertain a motion.
Motion to disband this, whatever it is.
Adjourn. Second.
I'll second it.
There's a disbanding the charter.
All those in favor? Thank you, folks. Good evening. I know you got a committee meeting coming up at 7:00.